Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here tonight. Tonight we are going to be talking about holding the light, allowing the light in our bodies, and really finding out why so many of us are saying, gosh, I'm sitting down, I'm allowing the light to come in, I'm thinking about it, something's not working right here. And then you go and you have a reading, a psychic reading or an angel reading, or you go and you have some massage work done, or you go to the doctor and there's something wrong with you again, and you say, gosh, I don't get it. I know I'm a light being. Why can't I hold the light? Why can't I heal myself? Why can't I let things go? Well, aren't we still thinking about the same thing, having our mind do the action? We're still part of this world. We still have a human body. We still have energy out there that we're that's exactly what we are, is light energy. But we say to ourselves, but my mind has got to forget it. My mind has to let it go. My mind has to hold the light. Well, okay. So tonight we're going to have a really great, as we call, casual conversation with Ranelle Wood. Her book is Touching Light, How to Free Your Fiber Optic Fascia. And this is very important for many to say, I've never heard that before, but you know what? I think it's a great thing to listen to because maybe it will give me a little bit more insight into this world of my body, what the light means, where is it? How can I get it to release, to move, to change, to mold? All of these things I think are great topics. And it'll be a wonderful conversation. So, Ranelle, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us. So, Ranelle, don't you think?
Talk about it.
Don't you think, Ranelle? I think all these times people are saying, but I've been thinking about it. I sit down and meditate. I tell it to come in, and it just doesn't work, right?
Right. And we are living in a time where we're no longer studying how things function in the body by looking at cadavers. We're actually able to go inside a living body and take a look around. And what we have discovered is that we are a system of fiber optics that conduct light. So that brings in this key piece about the body contains the light.
You know, it's interesting you say about that because with my own medical school experience, you know, I had a whole year with a human cadaver, and that was an experience in itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was interesting, and I definitely know all about the fascia and all about the systems in the body. And then I spent some time also, I think it was about 9 months, in open-heart surgery where I saw the living fascia. And we look at it and we say, what is the difference? And in your book, you speak about it as cotton candy. And when you lift it up on a cadaver, being that it's still so wet from the formaldehyde, you do see that it's sort of like a crystalline form of the cotton candy. But in a human body, it seems to be... I can't even think of the words, and I think that's exactly poignant, is that it really has no words because you just, you know, open-heart surgery is such an invasive process that when you think about the entire chest wall being, cut open and lifted apart and separated, and you see all these layers, mm-hmm. and you see the kind of fascia, it just kind of floats in the air. It's almost like a mist, like a fog in some areas, because it's so delicate. And then in other areas, you see it a little bit denser, and it looks like a tissue or a tendon. And then you see it in other areas, and it looks similar to a muscle because it's a little more constricted down. And it's so many different varying degrees of fascia. So can you share in your studies what you've found about the fascia and what it really many people are saying about it?
Okay. So because I could talk to you like a fellow fascia geek and just say, we found out it's fiber optic. And we could both say, oh, my God, and discuss all the ways that that makes sense. But if we're taking somebody from a beginning understanding, I would explain it like this, that fascia was given the name connective tissue. But it's so much more than connective. It's protective and it's communicative. So anatomically, the best way that I can describe fascia is to use the analogy of an orange. If you peel mm-hmm. an orange, there's that white stuff that helps the round ball of the orange maintain its shape. And we are like that. Just under the skin is a superficial layer that contains everything. But we also know that you can take a section out of the orange in the same way you can take out our individual body parts, our organs, our muscles. And each one of them has its own container, just like a section of orange. And even deeper, if you open a section of an orange, all the little pieces of pulp have their own container. It's not just free-flowing juice. It's these little capsules. And mm-hmm. we are like that. All the way down to muscle spindle and organelle, all the way down to bone. And bone is just mineralized fascia.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about that, and of course, yes, I am a fascia geek, I guess you call it. But when I think of it, I think of the items in which we can categorize in the body, such as nerves, blood vessels, organs, bones, eyes, fingers, nails, and so forth. I think of them as systems in themselves because they need to have those cells within. In other words, we don't grow nail cells in the middle of our knee.
Right.
So what I think of it as, fascia is like an aura around a collection of cells that allows those cells to collectively perform a function.
Beautiful.
That's what I think of it as.
Yes.
Yeah, and what it really does is if we think about our aura is always communicating around with other things in a similar area. In other words, if you have a feeling or an emotion like somebody screaming, you will notice that your head starts to hurt, your stomach will cramp up, and you might sit down. So those are all different processes of the body, both parasympathetic, sympathetic, motor. All of these different systems in our body go into action like this huge symphony that we could never imagine, and it happens inside of our body. And when we think about our aura around that, I think of it as we walk into a party and we sense everything that's going on. We smell the room. We know what's going on. We know how many people are in there. Are you hot or cold? Is somebody yelling on the other side? Is the rug soft or is it a hard cement floor? So really, it's similar to that. And I see that happening inside our body. I guess maybe I see it in similar ways. And I think you might also be able to explain it when you said about the orange, that pith, P-I-T-H, which is the white part of the orange, is what has to bring in nutrition but it also lets out heat. So it's also the aura, the communicator with the outside to the inside, right?
Exactly. And I love your analogy. The fascia is something that touches all the systems inside. It's a connector for all of them. And from a medical perspective, we see now that if we understood fascia's function as more than just protective, but also as connective and communicative, we could understand many diseases that have been previously thought of as of idiopathic origin, meaning they don't know why something's happening. If you are aware that the body is being compressed by the fascia inside, it can explain why things can go wrong. And my soapbox is if the directive is to first do no harm, that you are much better served in alleviating the pressure in the system before you jump to pharmaceutical solutions for pain or surgery.
So many times on this show, when I work with women over the age of 50, and especially end-of-life clients, what I find is that they will say, oh, I am so angry. I'm this, I'm that.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be going to a therapist, and the therapist would say, well, sit here and be with it. And their tears are running down their face or whatever, but they're not doing anything else. And then the therapist would say, okay, now are you over it? And they go, oh, okay, yeah, I am. And they leave. And I think, gosh, that is like putting that's like putting the last nail on the top of the pressure cooker, because now you've created a medical condition potentially, because now they believe that their mind is going to be okay, but yet they've stuffed it down in their physical body so far, it's very hard to recognize that anything's even going on until it shows up like the monster in the house called, I've got a crisis health problem. The doctor says I've got 2 weeks or whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, I've even encouraged women, lay down on the floor, for 5 hours a day. And whatever comes up when they're in a crisis. And, if you have to yell and scream, send your people out, be home by yourself, just let it go, and so many times they hold it back. Oh, but it hurts when I cry. It hurts when this. I hurt when that. And that's exactly what your work is all about, too, is about letting that out. Because if you don't, it has nowhere else to go, right?
Absolutely. Fascia is contractile, like a sea anemone. And its biological purpose is to squeeze nerves and blood vessels during moments of stress and danger. So if you were to have a physical fight, you wouldn't bleed too much or feel it. But that's meant to be temporary. It's meant to be an in-the-moment experience and a reaction of the animal inside you, your sympathetic nervous system. But oftentimes we walk away from a traumatic event or a physical injury not knowing inside our body on an animal level that moment has passed. And so there's a freeze response going on inside the body. It's as though the fascia took a picture of that posture and said, that was dangerous for us. We're never going to let that happen again. We will be prepared from now on. So it's doing the best that it can to support you and protect you. But in our culture, we often are trying to rise above, suck it up, be strong, put on a good face, and we don't allow the body a moment to tell the truth about how it felt about a scary event. For instance, I like to use the analogy of the cave woman, if I may, who would encounter danger. She would come around the corner and there would be a wild animal, and she'd get a huge shot of adrenaline to her psoas muscle in the center of her body that's supposed to lift her leg for fight or flight, that sick feeling in your stomach when you get scared. And she would use it. She would obey the adrenaline. either to fight the beast or run away or both. And by doing that, her body would metabolize the acidity of her muscular use, the lactic acid, the uric acid, and the adrenaline, and then she would pee it away, and that would be over with. Imagine modern woman is driving a car. She rounds a corner, and right in her path is another car. And she gets exactly the same huge shot of adrenaline that cavewoman did. But she knows that if she were to kick and punch or run, she would put herself and others in danger. So she has the ability to override that instinct and tell her body, not now. And that's a function of the fascia, to squeeze everything inside you to stop you from moving and freeze. And the only movement that she is allowed is from the accelerator to the brake. And the fascia is still holding inside. It's trapped that adrenaline next to the muscle, between the layer of fascia and muscle, and it's marinating in there. She still has a half an hour to drive home. By the time she gets there, she has either forgotten that it happened or she processes it intellectually, saying, some jerk pulled out in front of me, nearly killed us all, not realizing that the longer that freeze response stays held in her body, the gummier that byproduct becomes. And the adrenaline, lactic acid, and uric acid crystallizes, and the fascia begins to adhere to the surface of the muscle. So what would be the best thing to do? I call it a SNIT fitness program, where if she knew, as you said, to send her people away, to go privately into a room and lie on a bed and gently kick her heels and pound her fists, scream into a pillow, and allow the biological release of that chemistry to flow through her body, through that muscular movement, then she could pee that away and probably have a nice little nap afterward.
It's almost like Roto-Rooter for the energetic system. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, because no matter how many times you try to hold it back, it's just going to do it. Just like your computer, you know, you can do everything you want, but until you defrag it, do this, do that, and eventually just playing Roto-Rooter the thing, and you end up clearing it all off and starting over again, that starting over again is what you need to do each time. And yet we say that, you know, things that happened in your childhood, oh, we don't need to go there, oh my gosh, I don't want to run through that again. But you know what? When it comes up at a later time, it may be a split second and you can clear decades. It could
That's
be,
so true.
You know, yeah, and it does not always have to be, excuse me, it doesn't always have to be that you have to go through every single detail, because our minds can play this videotape very rapidly. You can have the intention, let's bring this forth and let's speed it up at warp speed. I don't want to go through it every single minute of every single day and have to be able to, you know, hold on to it even more. In other words, we're not the victim of it. Let's just let it fall through. And when you can really warp speed it, you're not the victim of it because you aren't holding on to that tether line. You can just plain let it go through.
Yes. To develop a sense of partnership with your body, that there isn't a separation between your mind and body. I often say you can't heal what you don't feel. And a person might interpret that as meaning emotional feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But those are also physical feelings that you can contact in your body. And your body has been a storage tank of these experiences, and it's no wonder that we kind of go rotten inside when we're holding negative chemical experiences in our body. But given the chance for the body to tell the truth about how it feels is exquisite and can happen in a 10-minute period to release something that happened 20 years ago. And you never have to analyze it. You don't have to say, oh,
right.
This is related to that time that I didn't get the pony that I wanted or that I fell down the stairs and landed on my head. You just allow your body to feel, and I'm there as facilitator doing myofascial release to reassure you that you're letting go of something, not taking in something new. And giving you permission without judgment and without taking anything personally to just leak and let your body tell the truth. And you walk away so much lighter. And all of this could make the medical community roll their eyeballs. But the point of my book is to say this is the bridge that we now have between what we talk about in terms of energy and vibration and the medical community to say, okay, look at this video. It's a minute and 20 seconds. You can see that the fibers are transparent and that they are conducting light. Now imagine how sensitive those would be to being shaken, vibration, and that we know light carries information because we watch cable TV. We have fiber optic cables that bring us images and sound. And so if we have that kind of system in our body, I want to share it with the world so that everybody knows and understands that this is a thing in their body. Once we get past that understanding, it could be like the revelation that the world isn't flat. I've been out in my rowboat beyond the horizon working with people's bodies doing myofascial release, and I know this fiber optic system. Right now, the medical community is like Columbus getting in the boat sponsored by the Queen, is going to go out and do scientific tests to be able to prove what I already know.
You know, it's so interesting because we would not have had this conversation even 5 years ago, I don't think. And so many times people say, but it's not that way. I don't get it. I don't understand it. A lot of times you don't have to get it and you don't have to understand it. You know, let's look at the concept of massage. I can remember massage has just been what in the past, maybe I think it's probably 8 years that massage has started to come out into the public venue, and people are flocking to massage like crazy. What they're really doing when they go to the massage, have a massage done, is that so many people are just eking for that human touch. They're just not getting it. They're not having what I say. They're not having their lights, their cells stimulated. In other words, their cells are just flat and contracted. And when they go to have massage, it's that passive being able to light things back up again. So people feel better after a massage, you know? And that's really what so many people need. And I think so many elders are doing so poorly because now that the world is really changing its energy shifts so many times and we're so much more aware of it, that elders are just so contracted that they haven't been able to continue at warp speed like many people have. And they really have been neglect of human touch for so many decades that their bodies are just not able to hold the light anymore. And so many are just saying, I just can't do it anymore. I'm ready to check out. And then we wonder why the people over age 50 are getting sick so quickly, because they're just saying, I just can't do this anymore. I can't keep up. And it's important to note is that we can help our bodies at almost any phase of our life. But helping our bodies, I think this is the biggest concept that I've been speaking about recently, is that when we say we want health or wellness, that doesn't mean we want to have a body like we were when we were 30. But when people come in, that's what they're asking for.
Yeah.
But yet when they leave, then they're disappointed that they don't have that. And to understand that the human body does have limitations and it will eventually phase out.
but we are still, you know, that universal being. And it's such a hard concept for people to understand that, that they just set up more and more roadblocks to even say, well, I'm in tremendous pain today, but oh my gosh, look at those clouds, they're fabulous. People will come to me, you know, and they'll say, well, I was just diagnosed with this disease and they feel terrible. And I'll say, oh, that's so fabulous. Finally, you can put a name on what you've been looking for. Now what do you want to do?
Oh,
and
that
they
makes
look at
it
you.
Weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, this is not going to work for me. And the ones that do understand it say, yeah, I was looking for something. Now let's figure something else out. Is such a great step going forward, knowing that you're not going to be 18 again, knowing that that's not the definition of health and wellness. Health and wellness is more of you got up today and yes, you're in pain, but the nurse came in and she opened up the windows in your room and gosh, I can hear the birds four blocks away. That's health for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe the concept of understanding these little things and appreciating them instead of always being disappointed because the grand picture doesn't look like what we expect. So when you're working with people with their fascia, it changes, but it doesn't put everybody's not at this grand ascension where their picture is picture perfect. Their picture is better. And to remember that we are constantly evolving, I think that is so vitally important because so many people will say, oh, a new therapy, a new treatment, it's going to fix me. Okay, go ahead, you know, you can try it, you can do it, but what it's going to do is it's going to shift you, not fix you. And that's what you do is work with this fascia. It's shifting, it's not fixing, like something is broken, you know?
Correct. And what you said earlier about touch is poignant because
yeah.
There is a term called piezoelectric effect where they can measure an electrical pulse as a result of a body being compressed from the outside. So when you are touched, there's an electrical pulse generated underneath the skin. And the quality of the information that your fascia can transmit is dependent on several things. How well hydrated you are, how much light can flow through those tubules, how flexible you are, and whether you have scars from injury or surgery, and how you have coped with stress. All of those things contribute toward a fascia environment that can be sticky and dark. And if you have a snarl, a place in your body where the fascia has been contracted or cut and repaired thicker, it will create darkness and the light can't flow through. And there are reasons now measurable why a person can give the term she glows or she just lit up. And it is quite literal in the body that when a person receives massage, when a geriatric patient gets touched, you are freeing the information flow through light in their body. When scars form, it's a different kind of fiber. Fascia in its healthy state is like spaghetti fibers that are laying down in the same direction as the muscle. But when it gets cut, it repairs like plaid. It goes back and forth and crisscross and diagonal to reinforce that area again. Oh, that was not a safe place. We're going to make it thicker so that it never breaks again. And when the fascia repairs itself, it can begin to cling to other structures in the body to stabilize. So a C-section that you had 20 years ago can create symptoms later in your life of bladder problems, elimination problems, reproductive problems, and you won't attribute it to that because you think that was so long ago. But it doesn't matter. This is the scaffolding in your body that has begun to thicken and restrict your movement and inhibit flow of lymph and blood and oxygen supply.
All Are you feeling despair or overwhelmed by your health or everyday life situations? Do you know what questions to ask and how to get help? Don't go it alone. Ask for help. Dr. Jeanette offers compassionate and comprehensive advocate support for health challenges. To download her free report, How to Get the Healthcare You Deserve, go to her website, www.drjeanettewellness.com. Anyone who downloads the information tonight will receive a complimentary 15-minute personal needs analysis consult with Dr. Gallagher for questions and answers. That website again for the free report download and free consult is www.drjeanettewellness.com. Just reach out and ask for help.
So, Ranelle, let's talk about hardly anybody can avoid the mishaps that we have in life these days.
Yes.
You know, I myself have had 4 C-sections. Welcome to that world.
Wow.
You know, and a multitude of other surgeries. And, yes, but we have these, and we have to accept
that.
Right. So then the now what? And the point is a lot of people are doing work on their bodies now, and they're saying, I'm doing a lot of meditation. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot of therapy. I'm doing soul searching. You know, it's interesting when we talk about this, about bringing in the light and holding it. I think it was about 2 summers ago. I always loved to go to the swimming pool in the summer, and I would just float on the water. Mm-hmm. And about three years ago, I noticed that I did not even try or intend to float, and I did not feel any of my body when I did. And it was just as if my thoughts were laying on the water instead. In other words, I didn't feel any of my body in the water at all. Mm-hmm. And I did this quite consistently for about 2 summers, 6 or 8 months each. And then last summer, the summer before, I would go into the water and I noticed that my entire body would float. And I did not intend it. I just walked in and all of a sudden I noticed I'm floating like the leaf on the water. And I had been drawing all the energy in from the sun and the water, and it just totally lit up everything. And it was just so interesting the way it did, because I wouldn't even sense or feel anything. Like, I could close my eyes, and you know how that little, the jet from the swimming pool pump? Well, that was the only thing that was propelling me, and it propelled me all the way around the pool like a feather. And I'm going, goodness gracious, I'm not that light as a feather, you know? But and I'm thinking, how the heck am I floating on here, and you're moving me around? But yet it did, and it was such an interesting concept. And it's just as simple as that, to be able to say, what are the little things that we can do in our life to be able to light that up, you know? And when you say about glowing, we always think of pregnant people as, you know, women as glowing. Mm-hmm. It's because they have so many cells that are on.
Yes.
I would not say on fire, but they're not on fire. They're just really on. They're really sparking. They're going. They're multiplying. They're doing the job at the highest level possible. That's exactly what we're trying to say. And then we look at people who are not well, and we see this gray and ashen tone to them, and we know that their cells are not on fire. And, you know, even recently, I was talking with someone, and I'd known this person is taking multitude after multitude of drugs and just finding everything to squash down their pain. Mm-hmm. And this person had put their hand on me the other day, just set their hand on my wrist, and I went, oh, it does not feel good. It felt like ice cold, like a person who had just passed over. It really felt devoid of the life force. And yet, I don't think this is something that just you and I can pick up. It's something that a lot of people can, especially when you start listening to this conversation that you and I are having. Many of the listeners can say, oh, I'm going to try that. I'm going to go touch my grandmother on her wrist and see how she feels, you know, and then maybe sit her by the window and open up the curtains and then check it again. And just to see what lightens up the person or what brings energy into their system. That's really what you and I are talking about, is what's going to bring energy into the system and allow it to flow. That's
yes.
it.
And that brings to my mind, number one, the work that I do, and number two, that I want to empower every individual about their own fascia and know that they can do something about it. When I get that visual picture of you floating in the water, it is just
right.
such a delicious feeling of expansion and weightlessness
mm-hmm.
and
right.
freedom from auditory input and the feeling of the water supporting you. That's the feeling that I wish to create on the table. There have been...
Well, you know, they're trying to do that now with these
mm-hmm.
lack of stimuli, you know, kind of pods.
Sensory deprivation, flotation tank.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not even getting the concept. Because the concept has to come from the energy to the sun, the energy from the sun on me, putting the energy into the water putting it into me, and it was just this full cycle. When you get those sensory deprivation, it's like, well, now you've buried me in another cave, and I can just
right.
sit here and, you know? It's sort of like you've just frozen every single bit of your light system again. What's the point, right?
Yes. There have been previous body treatments that have understood fascia, like Rolfing. But their concept was to force the fascia to let go. And the effect,
and that's not good if you've had a, right? Because if that's not good, if your issues are abuse, or if your issues are aggression, or your issues of being repressed in the past, and you're having someone else do that again to you, that's just another assault on your physical entity.
Exactly. And we've had enough opportunity to brace and prove how tough we can be. The challenge
right.
now is to find out how soft we can be. So if on the table a person is just enduring something that I'm doing, that's the opposite of what I want to accomplish. And we accomplish this letting go feeling by simple traction. We don't use oil. We don't want to be slipping around on your body and moving quickly. We want to,
right.
for instance, begin by gently tractioning your heels for you to get the feeling of the opposite of gravity. We're so used to gravity squashing us. When you're laying on the table and I traction your heels, it expands your body. It allows for telescoping and opening and space between the vertebrae all the way up your spine just by tractioning your heels. And the exciting truth about tight fascia and scars is that it's made of elastin, which can stretch, and collagen, which can melt. So when I use words and I'm gifted at my ability to talk this treatment, which is no small task, I never use the word relax because they find
yeah.
that's just a concept. So the words I will use are melt, warm, heavy. If you can do
mm-hmm.
those things with your body, then you can find, oh my goodness, I was totally gripping with my jaw right now and didn't realize it. You used the analogy of an operating system on a computer, and that is how fascia is functioning inside you in a way you don't have to think about it. When you were little and you were taught, please sit down, please be quiet, please hold still, which is valuable to learn, those things went on a background program so you could learn other things. So your throat is holding so you don't talk too loud or say rude things or tell family secrets. And your arms are holding so you don't reach out and steal other kids' toys and slap people. And you're holding
mm-hmm.
in your legs and your belly and your bottom so that you don't run screaming when you get scolded. And when you're little, you have a lot of opportunity to jump around and spaz out and move in goofy ways and interrupt that holding. But the older you get, the more dignified you are, the more appropriately you behave, the less likely you are to allow that goofy movement. And in the pool, when I do what you described, I get this impulse to twist and stretch in the way that cats and dogs do when they get up from a nap. And allowing myself that expansion is your own personal self-myofascial release that gets trained out of us. When the alarm goes off, we hop up and go. We don't take that time like we used to on a Sunday morning to expand in every direction until we squeal. It feels so good.
You know, it's interesting you said that because it's almost like you could do ballet in the water. Do you know what I mean? You can expand to the utmost amount of energy possible. And, you know, you can, even if everything is hurting, because I remember I really was having trouble with my left shoulder. And I said, I think that the water will help. And I went into the pool and I could easily move my shoulder any way I wanted to in the water, but the minute I got out, it was like, no way.
There's
and,
gravity.
Yeah, you know, and it was just nice to know that gravity was around, but, and sometimes actually, maybe not, but, you know, I couldn't wait to get back into the pool the next day to be able to allow things to move. And I think so many times when we put elders into these homes and we can't, they don't even have a bathtub anymore like they used to. I worked at a it was assisted living type facility, and they would put people in the wheelchair and they would undress them and keep them in the wheelchair and just put a sheet around them, and we would line them up in the hallway with the sheets around them to go in to get a shower. And it was just really this big open room where you would just hose them down. I felt that so dehumanizing that stuck in my head that was the utmost of degrading of a human person ever. And I saw people literally, you know, just fading away. And I found that, you know, the things that I've seen in life, I really, they're just not been the best. And I wish that we would, as human beings, start to be able to take some accountability for that and be able to help these people that are our elders or people that are not well to be able to start to just feel a little lighter in their space and keep a little bit of themselves a little bit longer. And your work, I mean, if somebody comes in and they're very ill, they've lost a lot of their self already, because now their self has taken on an identity of a disease or a crisis or something else going on. And it's really difficult to be able to let that go. So a lot of people, I think, have a lot of resistance when they come to get help too, don't you think?
Yes. What you said earlier about trauma in early life and your ability to begin to recover from that as you let go brings me to the concept of contrast. I have had to come to grips with things that happened to me when I was a child from the perspective that I was learning so much about who I am not. And for you to have the visual in your mind of those elderly patients lined up for their shower has created a real clear awareness for you of how it does not work. And we are in pursuit of what works. And to find that traumatic experiences are potentially helping you know more about who you are going to be and what works can cause us to be thankful. And so at the beginning of my book, I appreciate my parents for treating me to that very interesting experience of my childhood that helped me clarify who I am not and facilitate now for other folks without feeling shocked or that something is unacceptable, but knowing what it means to have somebody hold the space for you to be completely safe and accepted and given permission to tell the truth, knowing that if you need to scream and kick and yell about something that happened to you in the past, you're not traumatizing anyone. You made the choice back then, better me than them, so I'll just hold on to this. And you never got to tell that person what you did was horrible. But you can do it symbolically while letting go. Nobody gets harmed, and you have finally emptied out your storage tank of something awful from the past. And in the way that I love to be with people who have had a lot of trauma and injury and they come in resistant, is to give them nothing to resist. I have no agenda to push. There's no intellectual concept that they have to grasp. They're just lying on the table and allowing that intellect to kind of step back, the part of our mind that always wants to know why and have the answer and get a reward. And they're letting their physical body, their physical intelligence come forward, and they're allowed to follow an impulse to twist their shoulder or to move their head or to turn. And I'm gently tractioning an arm, and they're pulling their leg in the other direction. And sometimes they'll say, I don't even understand why this is happening. And you don't have to. It's a way of bringing together the partnership of the intellect and the body, never telling the body you were wrong for getting that surgery or you were wrong for holding on to this for so long, but letting it know that you realize it was doing the best that it could to help you cope. That moment is past. And it's okay now to let go. Nothing bad will happen if you let go. And it takes a while. You know, that's why you said just one treatment doesn't often fix anything. But this process of befriending your body and realizing you're connected everywhere and that mind, body, and spirit are all twirled together in one thing and cannot be separated out the way Western medicine would like you to believe. And you begin to heal in the body and you walk away from the table feeling clarity, like you solve a problem that was bugging you for a while, or you go home and clear out a junk drawer or have a deep conversation that you needed to have about relationship. And people will come back to me and say, do you think that could be related to the treatment? And it happens so often that I say, this makes sense to me from the perspective of the light flowing through your body.
At this time, we're going to take a short break, as I'd like to share a product that I've been taking since December 2015, and I really feel the benefits every day. I'm sharing it because I really believe we need to start taking a few steps to improve our own health without waiting for someone to always tell us what to do. With heart and blood vessel complications these days, I really believe it's high on my list of what to take today. And so I hope you take a minute to check out the link following the Cardio Miracle information.
Attention all women over 50 who are feeling listless and tired. Are you constantly hitting a wall? Are your day-to-day activities wearing you out? We have great news. Take control of your health and empower your body with a new exclusive formula of vital nutrients and antioxidants. Our product, Cardio Miracle, is an alternative health option that can improve your general health and give you that much-needed natural energy so you can accomplish everything on your to-do list without feeling exhausted. Cardio Miracle can help you to have the energy and power you need to deal with all the lumps, bumps, and general chaos of life. It's called Cardio Miracle because it improves your heart health while giving you natural energy and important vitamins and nutrients your body craves. Statistics tell us women are at a high risk for a cardiac event. Please inform yourself as options are available. Discover more about this new product at cardiomiracle.com/Dr. Jeanette, spelled all in lowercase, DrJaneTTE. Thousands of women like yourself, including Dr. Jeanette, have blessed their bodies and their hearts with the restorative power of CardioMiracle. Learn more at CardioMiracle.com/Dr. Jeanette. That's CardioMiracle.com/Dr. Jeanette.
So, Ranelle, a lot of people are not local to you. This show is global. Mm-hmm. How would you suggest people would be able to, let's say they don't have therapists or somebody to go to in their area. Mm-hmm. I think some people can actually do this, start on their own. I know for myself with the swimming pool, that was perfect, you know. Mm-hmm. Or many times I'll get up in the morning and I will say my back is really hurting. And we always think of our back, of our body moving as forward flexion or backward extension. In other words, it goes to the front and it goes to the back and then it goes side to side. Yes. And then I said to myself, I said, no, there is another way it can go. It can go at that other angle. And what is the other angle? It's along the plane. So if you're laying flat on your bed, you're actually pulling up your left hip and down on your right on the plane of the bed. So you're moving in that plane of existence, you know, where your body might not have moved for a long time. Yeah. And so I think these, if you just be more attuned and stop and lay and stop and sit, some of these things will start to come up to you, and you just don't even have an intention. Just say,
right,
I'm here, and that's it. And don't worry about whatever, oh, I have to move. Oh, I have to flex. Oh, I've got to think about it. I need to move my arm. Oh, I have to let the sun come in. If you just do whatever you're doing and just stop the train, sometimes those things will automatically happen when they are able to.
Yes, we have a spiral line in our body. If you're familiar with the work of Thomas Myers, he talks about how they stopped going straight down vertically with the scalpel when they would open a cadaver, but they started going horizontally and just taking the skin layer off and then the neck and the next. And they found that there were these continuous planes of fascia that if they started to lift it, would come up as one sheet. So there's a back line, a front line, and a spiral line in the body, referring to what you were talking about, these planes in your body. And that knowledge, although it's in a book that is full of heavy, heavy information, can be so simple to realize that movement is allowable in almost every direction, and folks can't always afford a pool. So I love the water. I'm a Watsu practitioner, and I really strongly urge you to invest in yourself to be able to do something like that. But in this age of computers and communication, there are people out there who are teaching classes on self-myofascial release. They've made videos of them. I hold a workshop where people come in and we work with what are called yoga tune-up balls. Anybody anywhere can order them. The yoga tune-up balls are a way for you to lie on the floor on something that's not as hard and won't bend like a tennis ball would, and it's not as hard as a baseball or a softball. It's really nice and squishy, and it comes in different sizes. There's a big one and a medium one and a little one, and you can lie on your back on these balls and, for instance, put one right in the center of your glute and then start following where that feels good. And at first, you want to just take a moment to let it sink rather than get on there and work away at grinding into it. You want to soften onto it and then allow your body to follow where that feels good. And there's no place you can't go with those yoga tune-up balls. I want to do a little parenthesis here and say foam rolling has become very popular, but that is not myofascial release. That doesn't displace the fascia. It actually crushes the skin against the structures underneath, and it can cause bracing, and it's quite punishing. What you want to feel when you're doing self-myofascial release, instead of, you want to feel, that's it.
And I always equate it to the idea of, if you've ever had massage because your back is bothering you, and you would come away saying, oh, that massage felt good, but your back still hurts.
Yep.
That's exactly what we're talking about, is that dense inside point is not getting what it needs. And I've always said, I always have this thought that I wish there was this big thing that you could, like a plank you could put on your floor, and it would have a bunch, and would have a bunch of what I call doorknobs, you know, in different areas. And you would just lay on it, and those doorknobs would support you, but they would also hit all those pressure points. And, you know, I do acupuncture, so I know all of those points are various ones that would help really open things up. It would open up a lot of the gateway to heaven points. It would open up all the spirituality points. You know, it would open up the heart points, the lung points. And people would say, but I get I do a lot of ab work, and then they wonder why their back is still hurting. Or they do a lot of back work, and they say, they're, you know, it's just, there's so many different areas in our body that being able to conceptually get to them all is, you just need to have a toolbox. And I think your work is really just another thing in your toolbox, right?
And yes, and the reason I went into myofascial release is because I had been doing massage, and it didn't feel good to me that people would come back again and again with the same problem. And it felt really good to find more long-term solutions. And what you said about acupuncture, there's a place in my book where I say the fascial fibers are the paths of the meridians. And so what they used to intuit, we can now look inside the body and see. And I use that little YouTube video that I made before a patient gets on the table so that they can conceptualize what's going on inside their body.
Well, goodness, for now, we've come so quickly up to the hour, I haven't even noticed it.
We've got four hours left.
I'm telling you, so you'll just have to come back another time and maybe we'll talk again.
Wonderful, I'd love to.
Could you share with the listeners a little bit more information how to find out about you and about your book? That would be great.
Yes. The name of the book is Touching Light, How to Free Your Fiber Optic Fascia. It's available on Amazon. I'm located in Ojai, California, a place wonderful to travel to should you ever wish to visit. The name of my website is omsanctuary.com. That's spelled O-H-M as in mom, sanctuary.com. And I have a YouTube video on my channel, Ronell, spelled R-O-N-E-L-L-E, 1111. So it's Ronell 1111. And the name of the video is Living Fascia Magnified 25 Times. In the book, I provide little QR codes called quick response codes that you can use your smartphone to click on, and it'll take you right to the visuals that are so important to go along with what I'm saying. And it can be transformative just to look at that living fascia magnified 25 times so you can see these little fiber optics and treasure your magnificent glowing light system inside to know you have a lot more to say about how you feel than you might have previously believed, that you can do wonders to lighten your load and take the pressure off the internal workings of your body just by rolling around and twisting like a dog does when it gets up from a nap, or like kids do when they're thinking nobody's watching.
Right. Well, now we'll have you back on another show. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes, I'd love that, Dr. Jeanette. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you. If you'd like to find out more information about Ronell Wood, again, the link is on the bottom of today's show page. It's really important to understand we can't just think our way and our body's going to jump up and respond and be able to make the changes. We really physically need to do things. We need to energetically do things. We need to expand. We need to be able to open up our minds and expand that toolbox. So here's another one in your toolbox. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a wonderful day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit www.drjeanettewellness.com to schedule a phone appointment today with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.